Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, today we leave 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and we move into chapter 7. Which in some ways continues some of the discussion that we found in chapter 6. Not surprising, because of course you know the chapter and verse divisions were not in the original in the original scriptures. They were added later for the convenience of students of the Bible to be able to find things quickly. And I'm certainly glad they're there. But at any rate, they don't always indicate a break in the discussion. Though sometimes, of course, they do. But at any rate, as we move into chapter 7, we do find some reiteration, but we also find expansion, and it's all profitable. But particularly, we are going to see in the first few verses two essential qualities that are necessary to please God. And the first one is love. Well, that may actually be the second one, but it's the first one I'll mention. The first one is love, and nobody's terribly surprised about that. But the second one is holiness. And we may not be particularly surprised about that either, but we must admit that love gets a whole lot more attention than holiness. Love seems to be more highly valued by Christians than holiness, but they should be equally valued because God values them both equally, and He indicates in His Word that both of them are necessary to a healthy Christian life. And so even though love is widely proclaimed, it's often poorly understood, and even though holiness is often ignored, it is highly essential. And that's where we are going as we move into 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, March 30. And thank you, those of you whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Well, let's begin with a call to holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A call to holiness begins with an incentive. Therefore, having these promises, beloved. Beloved, of course, is a common term that Paul uses for the people of God to indicate his genuine love for them. We saw that in chapter 6. This does indicate some of the continuation of chapter 6, where Paul expressed his warm love to the Corinthian believers and his disappointment that some of them didn't seem to be returning the same level of love to him. And he wanted to remedy that weakness and to remove the difficulties, the strain in the relationship between him and the Corinthians so that their love for him was like his love for them. But going beyond the beloved, which is found frequently by Paul, not excessively frequently, but rather frequently by Paul, frequently enough that we don't find that an unusual term that Paul uses, we have these promises. Therefore, having these promises, and that's another area of the incentive. The first one is the promise of God's presence, chapter 6 and verse 16, What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and do not touch that which is unclean. And here's the wonderful promise, an incentive for holiness, and I will receive you, I will be a father to you, you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, do you get the connection? That's an unconditional reality, the promise of God's presence, but there is this conditional promise, namely the prospect of God's fellowship, which does require our obedience to his commands to have the full benefit of fellowship with God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. And so there is this promise, there is this prospect of intimate communion with God, something that Christians should value, should cultivate, should find highly satisfactory and something that should be an incentive to holiness. And that's what Paul is telling us here. Cleanse yourselves in the pursuit of holiness. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So this activity is a Christian responsibility. We are to cleanse ourselves. That's something that we do. Now, obviously, we can't cleanse ourselves until God has first cleansed us. We must be justified in order to be able to do this. We must be a new creature in Christ Jesus in order to be able to do this. We must be born again in order to be able to do this. But having been cleansed by God, then we have a responsibility to cleanse ourselves. And Paul includes himself. He doesn't say, Corinthians, cleanse yourselves. He says, we must cleanse ourselves. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. It is a Christian responsibility. We are to be working at this. And it is a rigorous activity. Cleanse ourselves from some defilement? No, all defilement, all filthiness of the flesh. The outward manifestations of our Adamic nature, that which is of the flesh. And this can include all kinds of things. It can be sexual defilement. It can be dishonesty, lack of integrity in our relationships. It can be slandering others and so forth and so on. But we are to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and of the spirit. The flesh would be the outward things. The spirit would be the inward things, our thoughts, our mind. We're to cleanse ourselves from that, from lustful thoughts, as well as from pride and envy and covetousness and malice. Now, I dealt with this not too many broadcasts ago, this problem of rampant immorality in our age that affects the people of God. It is all around us, this immorality, this enticement to sexual defilement. It's all around us. It's almost inescapable, but we can't accept that. We can't say, I can't escape it, I can't help it, therefore I will yield to it, and it's no big deal. It's just so common. Well, it is common, unfortunately, but we have the responsibility to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, right? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the Spirit. Of outward activities that are sinful and displeasing to God, as well as inward thoughts and lingering desires that we will not mortify, that are also displeasing to God. It's a battle, folks. It's a battle for the mind. It is a constant battle. I have lived long enough to remember a day when if you wanted to get involved in pornography and that sort of thing, you had to go looking for it. It didn't tackle you, but it was available for those who desired it, but you had to go looking for it. You had to find an adult bookstore and find the materials that were available in there. But anymore, it is available with a click of the computer mouse. It is available with a click on the smartphone, isn't it? We all know that. In fact, we don't even have to go looking for it. It comes looking for us. We have to click the delete button. We have to say, no. And that is our responsibility. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. Therefore, having these promises, the promises that God has given us are so wonderful that when we think about those, that should be incentive enough to cleanse ourselves, and continually cleanse ourselves, working at it, fighting for it, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It is a lifelong endeavor because he goes on to say, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It is a process. Absolute perfection, no, not until we get to heaven. But progress in toward perfection now, yes. That's exactly what progressive sanctification is all about. We are working toward Christ-likeness now in this life. That's what God is doing. He is, as he tells us in Romans, conforming us unto the image of his Son. That is, he is removing from us our Adamic likeness and creating within us a Christ-likeness. We are saved in an instant. We are regenerated in an instant. We are justified before the judgment bar of God the moment we believe. But we spend our lifetime working at removing the vestiges of our Adamic nature, that sinful nature with which we were born and which dominated us until the Spirit of God regenerated us. But that regeneration, though it gives us a perfect record in heaven, in our justification, we are as righteous as Christ with the imputed righteousness which he has given, which is his own perfect righteousness. Nevertheless, we have got these Adamic remnants that keep nipping at our heels, so to speak. They don't dominate us. They don't enslave us. They don't control us. But they sure do nag us. They sure do beckon us. They sure do war against us, war against our spiritual nature. And we have a responsibility to engage in that battle and to cleanse ourselves regularly from the defilement of the flesh. We'll take it up, Lord willing, tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.